Welcome to Deacon Dialogues, bringing you a deacon's perspective on the world we live in and the Catholic faith we are called to. And now, here are your hosts, Deacon Rich Napoli and his wife, Janet.
Hi, good afternoon, and welcome to Deacon Dialogues. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli, and I'm joined by my lovely wife, Janet.
Good afternoon, everyone.
And we have a wonderful show here today for you. We're going to be talking about, even though we're in the middle of summer here, we're going to be talking about getting ready for college in the fall. We have, you know, a number of parents are always asking, concerned about what it's like to send their child off to college. And, of course, the young adults themselves are concerned about what are they going to face as they head off to college. Both parents and children wonder, you know, can I grow in my faith? Can I stay Catholic? Can I grow as a Catholic while I'm away at college? So we're going to talk about that a bit today, and we are fortunate to have two wonderful guests that we know quite well, and we hope you will get to know them well as also. We have first our daughter, Vanessa Napoli.
Our baby.
Thanks so much for having us today.
And her boyfriend, Kieran Kelly.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, and they're both recent graduates of Catholic University. Vanessa has her degree, Bachelor of Science in Physics, and Kieran has his Bachelor of Arts in History. And they're both going on to Boston College for their master's degrees. And we're happy to have them here. Vanessa came with us originally from New York, and Kieran is still in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you in Boston now? Just right in the downtown area?
Yeah, Charlestown. It's one of the neighborhoods right downtown. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right near where all the Revolutionary War fun
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Yeah, Battle of Bunker Hill.
Bunker Hill, that's it. Great. Well, we're glad you can both make it here today, and we're looking forward to some good conversations here. So I guess we're going to offer two perspectives here. Obviously, Jen and I, having with Vanessa now graduated, we've had three kids go through college.
Yes.
All three of them went to Catholic University. But so we're kind of standing on the other side of that question that a lot of the parents have as their kids go off to college. So we're hoping we can give a parent's view of what it's like to send your kids off to college. And then we have Vanessa and Kieran here to tell us about what it's like as a student to go off to college and all the challenges and opportunities there are to increase your faith. So let's think back, Janet, to our time, when our kids went off to college. I looked at it as a pretty transformational time for them and for us. They really left as kids and came back as adults in many ways, that it was an opportunity for them to spread their wings a little bit and try to live on their own but still have us involved. And your recollections at the time, you were much more at peace than I was about...
Well, Rich, I remember that time as being, I think, more difficult for you than it was for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the reason, I think, for myself was, I was just so grateful that at that time in our life that we were both on board with our faith and really trying to live that within ourselves and within our family. So I really had a lot of faith and trust in God and our Blessed Mother that they would take care of our children. But there comes a time as children grow up and they see the faith witnessed in the home that they really have to make that choice for themselves. So there is that little bit of a worry when the kids go off to school. Are they going to continue with the faith to grow, or are they going to kind of maybe take this opportunity to slack off and maybe go in directions that you've been hoping and praying, preparing that they wouldn't do, right, as they go off? So I know for Drew, I think our first one going off, that he was kind of excited to go to college because now he could in some ways get away from his religious parents, if I can say it that way. But I always know, God has the last laugh.
Yes,
and we can talk a little bit about his story when you feel.
Yeah, we'll get a little further around there.
But there's the good little twist to that. And as I said, for myself, I really felt fine about him going off. I think it was time for him. I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about when we actually brought him to college and that experience. Or you want me to wait on that?
Yeah, I think that was, I can just remember, as you said, for me, it was, as a parent that was always, concerned about the child, making sure everything was good and safe and they were growing and so
right.
on. And there came that moment at college when he just, it was time to go. And he turned and walked away. He's going back to his dorm room. And I had this, thought in my head, like, where are you going? What's going on here? And I knew it was the right time and then we had to do it. But it was certainly it's a big letting go moment for a parent.
Right.
I think I admired your peace that you had with the whole thing. She said, well, I just offered up to Mary, and I put him in Mary's hands, and she's going to take care of him.
Right. And it really does come down to having faith that the Lord will provide for our children. And I know when we went to the beautiful Basilica Mass right at the end of the orientation weekend, when we dropped him off, and that was the big final, the Mass, and then you would leave your children. When you pile into this beautiful shrine, there, if you look above the pews all along going, processing up the altar, are these statues of different saints. Right. And it was very crowded. I remember the shrine, it was packed. And we just were very fortunate to get a pew to sit into. And I looked up to see, I wonder what saint we're sitting under. And it was Saint Monica.
Which is the saint of
Saint Augustine, certainly.
Saint Augustine,
yes.
Prayed for him for many, many years as he lived a dissolute life and basically.
To me, that's the perfect saint to pray to for your children, especially if you have a son that maybe you're a little concerned. You're not really sure if maybe when they do go off, they are going to be living that faith. So to me, Saint Monica, it was like a perfect sign from the Lord. Don't worry, we're on this. You go, do your thing. You continue to live your life as being a faithful Catholic as much as you can, and pray for your children, and we're going to do the rest here.
Right.
So I prayed to Saint Monica to really keep a good eye on him, and not in a way where he would be peaceful and happy and cheerful, but in a way that would challenge him. Because,
what did you say to him as he headed
okay,
off?
I can remember like a few days before he went off to college, we were in the sunroom and everybody's wishing Drew well. Oh, I want you to have a good life, have fun, enjoy college. And I can remember like turning around and going back into the sunroom, because I just left and I heard this in the back of my head here. I bursted back into the sunroom and I said, I don't wish you joy and happiness. I wish you pain and suffering. And he looked at me and he said, what? And I said, because that's when you know the world does not revolve around you and that you need God. And that's important, to know that you need God and to have that desire to want to live for him and to know that you can't do it on your own, that you're accountable to him. And so that's why I wish you that you will stretch and grow during this time period.
Right, and
in
we're
college.
Often stretch and grown times of struggle.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I know for myself that has happened, and I have been blessed by the struggles that I've had. In fact, those struggles become very light when you know God is carrying them with you. And we all have struggles throughout our life. We will always have struggles.
Yeah.
But in letting the Lord carry them and you walking with him lightens the load and can make them blessings. And that's really what I wished for him.
Right. And I think one of the things we both recognize, and I think as Vanessa will testify too, is that sending a kid off to college is a time when not only are they growing as individuals and adults, but there also is that moment when their faith is no longer the faith of their parents, but it has to become the faith of their. They have to take that faith on and take it further. So
yes.
Let me turn to you guys here just to get your view. First off, just what was it like when you first went to college, and what were your thoughts as you headed off, both from a change of life and a faith perspective?
I mean, just as you said, college is the time to really make the choice. Do I want to continue on with this, with my faith, with my Catholic faith, or do I want to turn away from that? And in those first few weeks, and there's even those first few days of college, that's really where these decisions come into play. Who are you going to, develop your friendships with? Are you going to maybe stay back from certain people? Are you going to get involved in athletics and in your academic world, which are really great places to be involved? Or are you going to take a step back? And it's a little scary, but everyone says this, but you're in the same boat as everyone else. All freshmen going there don't know anyone.
Yeah.
All freshmen going there are worried about fitting in, are worried about finding friends. So, if you go to those clubs and activities where you're going to find like-minded people, you're going to find great friends real quick. So that's something that helped me, just going, just trying out a lot of clubs, going to the campus ministry events, just going to Mass, even if I wasn't used to going to daily Mass, to just go to meet people is something that helps so much for me.
Yeah, and Karen, how about you?
Yeah, and I'd say one major change you have is that you're all of a sudden, you had these parents that were keeping you accountable, they were keeping you home at night, things like that. But when you go to college, you're accountable for yourself. You're responsible for your own safety,
right,
your own academic success. And so, you go from being in a very stable boat to being a very rocky boat, very fast. But one of the things that would help the most is if you really surround yourself, with people that are going to be a good support for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's, what Vanessa mentioned, I thought of as particularly relevant when you said, it's what you do in the first 2 weeks of school that really sets the tone for what you're going to do for the next few years. I mean, you can change it all, but really, if you make that effort in the first 2 weeks, when nobody knows anybody and everybody's looking for a friend and everybody's looking to fit in somewhere, that's when you can really make a difference.
In fact, Vanessa, you had something that happened within the first day of being at college.
Yes.
Of your freshman year, and so maybe you want to speak about that a little.
So when I moved in, I had this great roommate. She was really sweet. I was excited to live with her. We talked on Facebook and everything beforehand. But we get there, and it turns out after the first night, she calls me up, and she tells me that she's leaving CUA. And she was already moved out by 10:30 in the morning, so that was rather shocking for me. And I was kind of worried because your roommate in college is your default friend, you know, in the first 2 weeks. Is that someone to go with to orientation activities? And I didn't have that. And so I became worried real quick in a day that it was going to be harder for me to find friends. And something my older brother said, Drew, was I told him that this happened, and he said, Vanessa, you need to go down your hallway and just start knocking on doors and introducing yourself until you find people that you think you can be friends with. Yeah. So that's what I did, and I was terrified of it. But I took his advice, and it turns out I met a wonderful, wonderful girl who became my roommate only after another short week. And we were roommates the rest of our time in college, and she's one of my best friends. And so that's something to say, too, because going to freshman year, roommates, they don't always work out, and don't think that they have to. If in the first week you and your roommate have very different ideas of the way that you want to live your life, talk to your RA. See if they can, you know, a lot of schools will do a roommate switch early on in the semester. And, you know, it's great to have friends with people of all different perspectives, but to live with someone who doesn't want to live the same lifestyle as you, it's hard and it's challenging. I think I've seen a lot of my friends go through it. So take initiative. You know, if you, you know, can get along better with another person, look into it.
Yeah, yeah. That's great advice, because you're right. I think a lot of people just get stuck into, well, this is my roommate. I can't do anything about that. I'm just going to have to live through it. And some people have very different ideas about what college should be like and could be like. So I think that's good advice there. Karen, how about you in terms of your faith life? So what was your faith life like as you came into Catholic University, and how did it change over the course of 4 years there?
Yeah, so I'd gone to a public high school, a very secular public high school in Boston. And among my friends, I was probably the only practicing Catholic. I had some Catholic friends, but none of them really went to Mass or practiced their faith.
Right.
So I'd gone from a place where I was very much on the defensive in my faith. So, you know, I knew a decent amount. I was an altar server every Sunday. But there wasn't necessarily a lot of room to grow. One of the nice things about going to Catholic University was all of a sudden I had friends that were practicing their faith. So instead of just, you know, defending the faith or, you know, trying to stay within that boat, I all of a sudden had room to grow because there were other people that were there to support me.
And they were challenging you, too.
And they were challenging me, challenging me to grow more.
Interesting. Yeah. All right. So those are, you know, I think, Vanessa, you had that sort of similar thing where you went to a public high school and then a Catholic college. And I know you did a lot of defense of your faith as well. Did you have a similar notion that when you came
in? It was because, you know, I originally was, you know, I had great friends and I'm still friends with them. But again, you were on the defensive side. And not to say that when you go to whatever college you do go to, regardless if you have other Catholics to grow in your faith, find good people to grow in your faith. You don't need to be surrounded necessarily by people of the same faith even. Just good, holy people, you know, living lives
values.
Of service. Yeah. Similar values.
Right.
And for me, just to be surrounded by so many holy men and women my age, I was like, why are all of these college kids acting in this way? Why are they going to so many service programs, retreats, you know, dedicating their time after classes to do the things that they do, to teach me the faith? What interest do they have in my life? And why? And to see people care so much about my faith development as students, you know, really heightened my interest in the faith and gave me, you know, people to follow and follow proudly. So
right, right, good. I think it goes back to your earlier point that you find people that share your interests and goals early on in your career there, because I think you also saw others of your friends that chose differently and struggled with a lot of issues in college. You want to talk about any of the things that they face there?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of kids go through, you know, problems with, you know, many people are drinking, there are drugs at college, just, you know, getting into promiscuous lifestyles. Yeah. You can find yourself wrapped in it very quickly. And so, as we just said, like, if you don't surround yourself by this, like, we're habitual creatures. We follow the how the other people act around us. Mm. You know, if you're around, if you're surrounded by people, regardless if they're so good people, I'm sure.
Sure.
And of course they are. But if you surround yourself with people who are going to go drinking every weekend and during the weeknights, and who are aren't very respectful of their bodies or of, you know, or of you or of your friends, you are going to get wrapped up in something. I've seen a lot of kids go through depression and go through even troubles that they still have at home carried over to college, alcoholism, you know, drug addiction, suicide attempts. Like, it's scary what you can get involved in. But not to scare the parents, there is so much hope. There are so many good people at college. And there's so, like, as my mom and dad were just saying, to pray for your kids and to never stop praying for your kids is so important.
Right.
And, yeah.
What I'm hearing from you is there's certainly a lot of good people at college, but you want to really surround yourself with people who are trying to be holy at college. Mm-hmm. Because isn't that what we're all called to? And how popular is that to say that we're called to holiness?
Right.
Because somehow we always, you know, we don't really think of ourselves as saints, but hopefully we're saints in the making. And that requires, like you were saying earlier, Kieran, just really surrounding yourself with people who are challenging you to make those better choices.
Yeah.
And there's strength in numbers. And when you have a group of, you know, friends together saying, you know, we want to make the better choice, it makes it easier for yourself. And when you're going to pray, when you're going to adoration, going to Mass together, going on retreats, it's a great gift to have that opportunity away from the home with your friends to grow and to be nurtured and to, God willing, one day go start your own families and to raise holy little children to grow up and start the whole cycle.
Yeah.
And I know that a lot of kids, when they're in high school and they see this vision of college, they see, well, it's going to be so much fun. And it is so much fun. It was the best 4 years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we have this idea that, you know, college is all about drinking and partying, and there's this whole other aspect to it. And it's what you have to do. And kids are excited about it. And I'm not blaming them for it. Like, it seems attractive, and it is attractive. That's the problem. And so just saying that, you know, I've seen kids get wrapped up in that lifestyle, and it's not attractive once you're in it. It's more you get stuck in it, and it's not fun after a while. It becomes something that you feel like you've gotten yourself into and you have to stay in. Those are what your friends do. How are you going to break from your friends?
And maybe they think there's no other way to be or other way to live,
like,
no other choice.
I can tell you that, like, I didn't live that way, and I'm much happier for it.
Mm.
And so I've seen kids that have, and they're not. Yeah, so I'm just saying, like, there is so much more happiness in living a holier life at college, regardless of what you may see on television
and certainly, you know, there are those children that might go off that first year, first semester, whatever, and might not make the best choices, but then they make a turnaround.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we've had three children go off to college. Our oldest Drew, we mentioned earlier. And as I said in the beginning, you know, he was kind of excited to go off to college and be away from his quote religious parents. And I will say that first year that he was not going to church, that I found out later on, and probably partying a little too much. I had caught him. I should tell this experience.
Tell the story,
okay.
I think it's important.
Right.
I think it shows the point. You know, one of the challenges that we have as parents is they go off to college, and the natural instinct is to say, well, you know,
they're over 18.
They should be, you know, start to develop on their own. And they should. You got to give them a lot of rope there. But at the same time, you don't abrogate your responsibilities as a parent. You don't stop being a parent, and you need to step in when you see something going wrong. So that's where you came in there.
Well, I have to laugh because when you say, you know, you give them that rope, you want to make sure they don't hang themselves with that rope, let me tell you. But anyway, the experience was that Drew came home for spring break. And when he came home from spring break, you know, on that Sunday, we had all gone to Mass. But he didn't go with us to the one that we had went to. He said he was going to go to the later one, the noon one. So come noon, you know, he goes off to Mass. And something in the back of my head said, you know, I'm going to get in the car, and I'm just going to drive through the parking lot and see if I see his car there. So I went to church, and I drove through the parking lot two times, and I did not see his car there. So I came back home, and I knew that he lied. He did not go to Mass. So he comes in the door later on at the appropriate time, you know, an hour and 10 minutes later, and I said, oh, Drew, how was Mass? And, well, we had this little conversation, and certainly it came out that he did not attend. And I had a moment there where I thought, okay, like you said earlier, Rich, he is over 18. Maybe this is a choice he needs to make. I can't really, quote, force it on him. But then I thought, you know, the Holy Spirit was really telling me, no, you need to tell him that he must go to church. So I sat him down and I said, Drew, you're very fortunate to be able to have this education. Not everybody gets this gift to be able to go off to college. And if you can't go to Mass to say thank you to God for 1 hour a week, then you do it because you want to thank your parents for providing this for you. Right. Because in the back of my mind, I said, better to go to Mass, even if you're not going for the right reason, to be there than to not go. Because you want to be able to have whatever grace that you can receive to nurture yourself spiritually and to let that grow. And I knew that if we could just get him to Mass, that things would turn around. And I also said that when he got back to college, that he should say a prayer and ask God to show him the direction that he should be going in, because he really needed to do that. Right. And then I also said, the third thing I said was, there's Mass at St. Andrew's at 7 p.m., so you can go there tonight. And he did. And maybe you want to tell the end of the story on the other side, the flip side of him going back to school.
Right. Well, he did have that moment where he asked God for direction, and he received that direction very quickly after.
Very quickly.
And he got much more involved, started going to Mass all the time, got involved in leading the freshman retreat for the incoming freshmen.
Right.
And got very deep in his faith and became a daily communicant and really enjoyed his...
He became a daily communicant where he hid it from his parents for 6 months before he told us. I mean, it was beautiful.
He was almost embarrassed to say that he had found faith on his own.
Well, because he wanted to do it for himself. He didn't want to think that he did it for us.
Right.
And then I think the best part was when he came home that summer for the summer break, the first thing he said to me coming through the door was, Mom, do you have the book on theology of the body? Because I want to read it. I mean, did that make my heart go pitter-patter? And thank you, St. Monica, you know? So I just say,
the
persevere in prayer.
Being a series of...
The Christopher West book.
Well, no, really, Wednesday audiences John Paul of John Paul II.
Right, right. Yeah. Written, right.
On the beauty of our... and the dignity of our bodies and how... you live in marriage and chastely, and outside of marriage chastely,
right.
With the full dignity of what God intended our bodies for. So that's what the theology of the body
right.
was. And it's a great series of books that have been digested by and consolidated by Christopher West as one of the authors
right.
to make it a little more easy to read and interpret.
And come August, our program, the fourth Friday in August, we will be having an expert with us speaking on theology of the body
right.
and the great teachings there
right.
for all of us. So you'll want to tune into that one.
And just as a matter of reminder, you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio here with Deacon Dialogues. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli, with my wife, Janet. And we're here with our daughter, Vanessa Napoli, and her boyfriend, Kieran Kelly, talking about what it means to go away to a college and how can you grow in your Catholic faith, preserve your Catholic faith while you're away at college. So we just talked a little bit about theology of the body, and I think it might be a nice segue into the topic of, you know, dating in college. Obviously, that's...
of parents want to hear about that.
Something that can lead to good things. Our older daughter met her husband
right.
at Catholic University, mm-hmm. and they dated, and now they're married for...
almost a year, just about a year, yeah.
So it can be a beautiful time. It also can be a stressful time and, a chance for things... To go crazy. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your, how you approach dating and what your experience has been?
So I think what's really important is what we've been saying is college is a time of forming yourself. And that comes first. You know, if you don't know who you are, how are you going to be able to give yourself to someone in a dating relationship? So never have a firm understanding of your faith, of your beliefs, whatever they are, that you will, not be... do not stray from that in your relationship. And, as we were saying, you're so influenced by friends. Imagine mm-hmm. how much you're influenced by a significant other, someone who is your best friend. And if you're not on similar grounds, there's a lot of iffy water in between with a dating relationship mm-hmm. that can really take you a turn for the worse in your faith and in the virtuous life that you're trying to live.
Yeah, and I would say also just you need to be very cautious and discerning with your relationship. If you're dating someone, if you're not married to them, they shouldn't be the be-all, end-all of your life.
Yes.
Right.
This shouldn't be the only person you ever talk to. Mm-hmm. You need to still keep other friends. And you also shouldn't be afraid to talk about dating with other people, especially, if you're a guy, talk to other guys about it. Don't be afraid to talk to priests mm-hmm. about it. Maybe get a spiritual director to talk about that because, a man should not be an island.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And that's a good point because, you know, as I said, with living with girls in my, you know, in my years in college and having my friends who were trying to live holy relationships, either mm-hmm. with their boyfriends or they were single and they were just trying to live holy lives, that really helped me a lot to see, oh, well, how are you living in your relationship? Like, oh, you pray together at this time or you go to mass, you know, and you do these things, you know. Maybe that's something I can learn from you and what can you learn from me? And it's really a growing process. And as he said, like, keep your friends, you know. I've seen a lot of girls and guys really kind of shy away from their friends because they have a boyfriend or girlfriend and spend all their time with them.
Right.
And when that relationship ends, it not only takes a toll on the friends, but on yourself. So, you know, continue to have your friends. Continue to find your bridesmaids as well as your groom. And, you know, don't forget about that. So.
You also mentioned, I think one time we were chatting before, just your approach to dating is also, or starts with the way you dress. And the dressing appropriately for school.
Well, I think the most important thing is, so, you know, girls, we've seen a lot of, you know, not nice guys in our culture these days. And we say, oh, you know, well, guys are just jerks. Well, you know, we have a responsibility ourselves to uphold guys to be gentlemen. And it really, if a girl can, you know, if a girl has the power, you know, to raise a guy to be a great gentleman, it starts with the way that we dress. You know, if we're dressing in a way that says that we respect ourselves, we're almost demanding respect of them.
That's right.
And they'll live up to that. They don't, you know, they won't always fall short. So girls, like, you know, we have this beautiful, beautiful responsibility to respect our bodies, to allow guys to respect us.
And you can still be very fashionable.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And have a lot of great style with dressing modestly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you're more comfortable. It's cold out. You don't want to be like, I've seen a lot of girls get sick from being cold, you know, not dressing well. So it's more comfortable all around. You know, you feel very confident in who you are and in the way you look. Our bodies are beautiful, and that's why we do dress modestly, because, you know, they are so beautiful that they're not meant to be displayed in certain
ways.
Right,
they're God's creative power in our lives. You know, people are beautiful. Let's talk a little bit about what you did at college, you know, sort of some of the organizations. Now, we're talking specifically about your experiences at Catholic University, right, which has a wealth of programs to choose from. But some of these programs that you mentioned are available at almost any college. So maybe we want to talk about the ones you've been involved in, Kieran, and then some of the others that are available out there.
Yeah, so I did a couple different men's groups while I was at college. A lot of people are familiar with the Knights of Columbus. They're in most parishes. And, you know, what they're focused on is living, you know, as virtuous Catholic men, but also a lot of service. Catholic University has a group. It's not unique to Catholic University. It's called Esto Vir. It means be a man. It started at CUA about 10 years ago, and it's since spread to Ave Maria, DeSales, they each have chapters. But it's basically, it's kind of like the Knights. It's a Catholic brotherhood. But it's focused on spiritual formation, on living virtuously. And one of the things we talk about probably the most is chastity, because that's one of the major struggles that men have.
Sure.
So, you know, the idea is that we meet together, we talk, and we build up a brotherhood of guys who are each committed to building each other up, as opposed to, you know, you see, like, fraternities like Animal House. They're not building each other up. They're breaking each other down. They're going to the lowest common denominator. We're trying to do the opposite.
Right.
And do you see the numbers growing of the young men being involved in Esto Vir?
Yeah,
like, how is it growing?
When it started 10 years ago, there were five guys. And this past year, we had about 40-something, 40-something
wow.
guys in it.
Wow,
yeah,
that's nice. Mm-hmm. It really can grow because you can pull other guys in. Some of your friends
exactly.
see you heading off and wondering where you're going.
Yeah.
And you tell them and you invite them to come.
Yeah, and even if they're not a direct member of the organization, having those men out there to witness is a powerful force on campus.
Right. And then what about the Newman Society?
Newman Center.
Yeah, Catholic University didn't have a Newman Center because we're Catholic. We just had a campus ministry office. But even a lot of people don't realize this. Almost every school, bishops are, I think, required to set up something for each school, even if it's a public school. State schools, they all usually have a Newman Center or a Catholic Center.
Mm-hmm. And what is it? To tell us a little bit about what goes on in that.
There can be things like a Bible study. Typically, most Newman Centers have Bible studies each week. And they have, you know, either some sort of group for formation of their college students, since you wouldn't get that necessarily as intensely at a public school. But they offer masses, they offer confessions, adoration.
They have social events, too.
Yeah, they do fun things.
They can hang out, go out.
Yeah, do dinners. It's a group of people to hang out with, to build your faith with, to have fun with. you know, who are trying to live similar lives to you. So something I highly recommend is in the summer before you go to college, or even if you're already in college this summer, look up Newman Centers, look up Catholic Centers.
How do you spell it? It's N-E-W-M-A-N, right?
Yes.
Yeah, like St. John Newman. And so just look up places before you go to college so you know when you're there where to go.
Find out where the chapel is in college.
Yeah, and go. You'll find people there, and you'll find great friends there, too.
Yeah. No, that's a great insight there. Now, Vanessa, you want to talk a little about campus ministry in general, I think, is another one of those vehicles for either being involved in personally or being affected by as a student there. You want to talk about how campus ministry worked for you?
Yeah, so, and also a lot of schools also have campus ministries as well. But our school, it's very big on campus, and there's a lot of programs and service opportunities. And for me, our school has a student ministry program. So each freshman dorm and each upperclassman dorm has a student who is a minister of the faith to them. It's kind of like a spiritual RA. And for me, my freshman year, I became close with my student ministers, and they taught me a lot about what CUA had to offer in their campus ministry. They, you know, took me to a group called Renew, which is kind of like a Catholic Bible study on campus. That's actually where Kieran and I met.
Is that your freshman year?
Yeah. Okay.
And so I just saw the opportunities. They took me on freshman retreat. They brought me to do service at Little Sisters of the Poor. And I was kind of like, why are these students spending all their time, you know, trying to, you know, take me to Catholic events? Like, why do they care? And it struck me so much that in my sophomore year, I applied and I became a student minister. And one of the most powerful things I think everyone can get out of this is I lived with, you know, eight other Catholic men and women. And to live in community with people is one of the strongest, most faith-fulfilling things you can do in college. And it doesn't have to be in this formal manner, you know, of a student ministry program.
It was special.
Living
yeah.
in an apartment
yeah.
with girls' rooms and boy rooms and a shared kitchen. And
well, they were separate, but shared sentence. Kitchen.
But the thing is, you know, in your sophomore and junior and senior years, like, seek out good, holy men or women to live with. You know, if you're a girl, look for good, holy women that you can live in a community with. Like, we went to Mass together every week, and we had two meals a week together, and we prayed together, and we had, like, we went on trips together and just had fun. And, you know, to have people to live in this community with is one of the strongest ways that you can build your faith.
Because you build each other up, right?
And it's almost, you create a family. Like, you think these kids, they're your family for the next 4 years, so you might as well get to know them well and help each other along the way. So,
Right.
It's a great support system.
That's a good thing to do. I know, and Drew, our son, got involved in that same campus ministry, and that really helped him grow as well and helped him help others.
Exactly.
Just to steer the kids. The incoming, I can always remember, within the first, 10 minutes that Drew was on campus, we're in his dorm, we're unpacking, and this person comes by and says, "Hi, I'm the, you know, I'm the freshman dorm minister," and I'm like, "What the heck is that?" You know, and they were very nice, very pleasant, and very easy to get along with. But it wasn't until I had seen the pattern there and actually saw the value of that you know, you make an impact right away. You're in there, kind of giving the kids an alternative way to proceed rather than going off crazy.
Well, and for me, too, when we went to Catholic University that first time and we heard at that time was O'Connell, yes, speak.
Mm-hmm.
When he spoke, he mentioned that, you know, this is a Catholic university. We're not ashamed to be Catholic, and we will be living out the Catholic faith.
Right.
And for those of you who are not Catholic, we welcome you, and we want to help you live out your faith by finding whatever faith you belong to, those connections, so that you can continue with your faith. But we will be living here at Catholic University, you
and
know,
then went on
according to those standards.
Exactly what that meant.
Right.
In terms of, you know, the behavior he expected from the young men and women that were attending there.
So we're very blessed to have him as president, and now he is...
He's in
New Jersey.
O'Connell,
he's the Bishop of New Jersey,
Bishop of Trenton.
In Trenton, right.
Trenton.
And certainly now, maybe this is the opportunity to talk about your new president.
The most wonderful new president, President John Garvey. He was previously the dean of the law school at Boston College. And him and his wife have moved into Nugent Hall, which is the president's office on campus. And it has been having, like, parents on campus. You know, they really care about all the students. They really are working for us. He's really trying to make this a great Catholic university. And I would say his work has been, you know, most admirable and most successful on campus.
I think what's really beautiful is the way he truly lives it out, he and his wife, where
oh, yeah.
you visibly see it day in and day out, seeing them going to Mass and mm-hmm. praying and,
yeah,
and
day,
mixing with
Mass.
The kids
yeah.
and really, you know, that whole environment
yeah,
is just so beautiful.
They really care about the students.
Yeah.
And that's what makes a university a great university, to have this family-like environment. Mm-hmm. And that can happen at a lot of universities. And we've been talking a lot about our Catholic
right.
University of America, which I love very much. But, you know, at any university, I had friends in one of my good friends in high school was a practicing Catholic, but he went to a public school and he kept his faith very well. He found a church in the area,
right.
continued to go to Mass, had good friends that he continued to hang out with back at home, as well as make new friends at school, and found like a Newman Center and things like that. So even if you don't go to a Catholic university, there's so much hope still, you know, like God is
right.
present everywhere, not only at
right.
Catholic schools.
That's right. That's right. And I think that's an important
good point.
Message.
Very good.
You know, we're very blessed that you went to Catholic mm-hmm. University, and there are many other good Catholic universities. But even when you're at a public university, or you can choose to find that kind of activity,
mm-hmm.
those kinds of people that will keep you close and heading in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about, you know, for those of you that are still choosing a college, you know, where to go and how to find the right college for your child. Obviously, you know, everybody focuses on picking the school that has the right majors that your child is interested
mm-hmm.
in. Of course, that's an important factor, and cost and location
it's
and
huge,
everything
yeah.
else. But we'd also say that, you know, picking the right school from a faith standpoint is important as well.
Right.
And we kind of stumbled into Catholic University and then found out how good it was. But, you know, there are good sources to look for to give you guidance if you have the opportunity, if you're thinking about sending your child to a Catholic school. There are some good sources. In fact, speaking of the Newman Society, there is the Newman Guide, mm-hmm. newmanguide.com, which lists the Catholic colleges that are really trying to be authentically Catholic. Because, as we all know, there are lots of Catholic colleges in this country. Some are very strong Catholic colleges. Others, unfortunately, have maybe, you know, drifted away from
yeah,
their
focus. A little watered
focus.
Down, maybe.
Yeah, they've watered things down a bit, and they're not, you know, in the worst cases, some of them are really just Catholic in name only. So how do you pick that college? And there are some good sources online. As I said, the Newman Guide, there's others out there that can mm-hmm. help you find that college that has the right programs for you, has the right location and the right pricing and so on, but also has a strong faith. Because
right.
it is hard in college to, mm-hmm. you know, to walk that narrow path. And if you have the opportunity to pick a strong Catholic college, I think your chances are a little stronger there.
Yeah, I remember when we were thinking about colleges with the kids. I mean, we have three smart kids. I knew that they would do well at whatever college they went to academically. For me, I was concerned more spiritually,
right.
at least having an environment where they could be nurtured if they chose to go in that direction, which was certainly my prayer for them. So I wanted them to be around in an environment which would be able to foster that the faith in a strong way. So that's why I was very happy when you came across Catholic University for Drew when you were looking at colleges with him.
Well, yeah, it was kind of a funny story. I mean, we were, you know, trying to pick a Catholic college for him, and that was the deal. We had said, look, Drew, we'll pay for your tuition, but you got to go to a Catholic college.
Of our choice.
Of your choice, yeah, but you got to, you know, but you can go elsewhere. But, you know,
right,
obviously,
right. And you can pay for it.
But we were looking, and we were using one of those online tools that helps you pick the right college
right.
and ask you all kinds of questions about, you know, what kind of student body you want, what kind of location, what kind of price range, what kind of curriculum, blah, 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 and faith. And so we plugged all that in. And at the time, Drew, and even now, Drew is interested in, you know, careers in video game technologies, video game programming at the time. And so, you know, it filtered in all these things, Catholic college in the Northeast with this price range, with these kind of grades
mm-hmm.
That offered video game programming. And then it gives you a list of the colleges that meet that criteria. When you put all that criteria at the time, there was only one college that really that popped out with 100% match. And it was this college called Catholic University.
Wow.
And I'm like, Catholic University? And I had remembered that name vaguely from my days, but
sure.
it was not certainly a college that was on a
tip of your tongue.
Tip
yeah.
of my tongue. And so we started looking at it, and Drew, look, they got a whole series of courses here in video game programming. And so we went down and checked it out, and he fell in love with it.
I think what's most funny is after the first semester, he became an English major.
I know.
So I'm glad you weren't looking at English majors to begin with. But there again, divine providence. Thank you, Lord.
I definitely felt the Lord's hand there because I don't think I would have found Catholic University at the time.
Yeah.
This is back in 2003 we were actually looking. So it was a while back.
And I know, Vanessa, like you've made a point earlier, too, is that when you go off to college, you know, and you're growing in the faith, there comes a moment where you really claim the faith for yourself. For Rich and I, unfortunately, even though we always, you know, thought of ourselves as Catholic, well, myself, I know, Rich, you took longer. But, but, and if you want to hear more about that, that's on our first program, which is archived. But, you know, I was really in my 40s, around 40, making that decision that, oh, my gosh, I want to live a Christ-centered life and all that meant and to go from there. I'm so blessed. We're so blessed that our kids have made that choice much younger, you know, certainly being raised in it, but then actually making that
making their own little fiat themselves.
Yeah. And so I don't know if you want to speak anything along that line.
Yeah, I think something that's important is, you know, well, as kids, we hopefully, you know, we respect our parents. And so we see, you know, OK, they're Catholics. Well, OK, that's good for them. But, you know, you have to really decide, OK, well, why did my parents choose this faith? Because even if they were born into it, they're making a choice each day to, you know, live out the true, authentic Catholic faith. And why? And why are they happy about it? So you take that into account when you go into college, and then you start seeing kids your age that are happy and choosing the Catholic faith. So that was something that was big for me. I went on the freshman retreat at Catholic University, and for me, that was a really big moment because I saw there were 10 leaders up there, and they were all proudly proclaiming the Catholic faith, and they were caring about me and, you know, my decisions. And so that was something, and listening to what they had to say, that I was like, okay, when I go back, you know, this is like, I'm going to get really involved and I'm going to do this. And even, it's not to say it's easy. I feel like a lot of this program has been, you know, all the great things that happens, you know, when you go to Catholic colleges and all the great programs. But it's very hard to be authentically Catholic, especially at a young age, and we're still learning so much. But just, you know, to continue to go. If you're not sure why you're going to Mass, go anyway. You know, if you haven't been to Adoration, try it out. God needs the opportunity to give grace to you. You know, you need to be willing to receive it. So continue to go even if you're not sure, and he will provide the resources for you.
Right. Just again, reminding everyone, you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio. This is the show's Deacon Dialogues. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli, here with my wife, Janet. And our guests today are our daughter, Vanessa Napoli, and Kieran Kelly, her boyfriend, who are both just recently graduated a few weeks ago from Catholic University. So, and now since Jen and I have our three kids out of college, we're now standing sort of on the other side of that,
the bridge,
that chasm
yeah.
that some of you might be facing. And, you know, one of the things I would say that you have to think, too, as parents, one, as someone mentioned earlier, pray. I mean, you think, Vanessa, you said it. Pray for your children incessantly because they
make
need
sacrifices.
Your help. And the power of prayer is amazing. We mentioned St. Monica is a beautiful witness to that. She followed her son, St. Augustine, all over Europe, basically, as he went around living a life of a playboy.
Don't think I haven't threatened our son at one point with that.
I think you did.
He actually said to me, I have more fear of you than I do of God, Mom, so don't worry.
So, you know, prayer moves mountains, and don't ever give up. You may have a child already that, you know, maybe has walked away from the faith in college, maybe is living a life that you not approve of. Don't stop praying. Their power of prayer works so well. The other thing I would say is trust. I mean, you've spent 18 years raising your child, giving them the background of faith, and showing them what it means to live a faith-filled life. You know, give them a chance. Step away a little bit. Let them start to use that education in new ways. And, you know, maybe some bumps in that, but I think they will surprise you.
And that's so true, Rich. I mean, it's not that we want our kids to be perfect and make every right decision. What you want is that when they make the wrong decision, that they recognize it, and that they choose to do something about it. Certainly confession and then working hard not to make that same mistake again.
Right.
But
right.
they have to be able to see it and acknowledge it. That's what's important.
Right. And I think, Vanessa, you mentioned something last night as we were talking about this, but the notion of, you know, helicopter parents, I think is the term, you know, parents that are hovering over their children all the time. And, you know, sort of directing their every action, even when they're at college, which, you know, we took that time, I think, wisely in retrospect to kind of step back and say, look, you know, we're obviously still your parents. We're still going to be there for you. Mm-hmm. We're there to advise you and, you know, guide you, give you suggestions and admonitions, you know, when you're stepping out of line. But it's your choices now. You know, mm-hmm. you are empowered as a student. But you saw, I think, Vanessa, some parents continue to kind mm-hmm. of influence their children maybe too much.
Well, there were some friends that I had where, you know, I had friends that every single day, you know, her mom would call her, and she still does. She's a senior now. And she loves her mom very much. But it's almost too much because you do have to kind of, you know, you have to let your kid go a bit. You know, mm-hmm. this is their time to grow, their time to maybe mess up a bit, but to always come back. And I have to say, like, through the way that you, you know, responded to me, you know, we talked, you know, once or twice a week,
right.
most weeks. And I really came to, you know, I would find myself, I have to make some decision. I need to call my parents and ask for mm-hmm. advice. You know, I found myself realizing, you know, how I need them in my life instead of them, you know, pushing that on me. Again, in this, you know, faith forming years, you also start to understand, you know, how you need your parents and how wise they are. And for me, that really happened because you gave me that space. Mm. And so I realized how, you know, I need to call you because I need advice and I need help.
Well, we live in a very technological world nowadays, and texting is even great. You know, just mm-hmm. to even get a little message, have a great day. That's great. You know, that's enough. Mm-hmm. And to know that you are making good choices and going to Mass. I mean, when you have a child going to Mass, I think you might worry a little less, you know, mm-hmm. because at least you know they're starting the day off on the right foot. But thank you, Vanessa, for that. I appreciate that. And certainly we're always here for you, as we are for our other two. And prayer, pray. That's my big advice for everyone.
And I think as a parent, I don't think I understood the beauty of having an adult child. You know, because you spend 18 years raising a child, and you're definitely the parent sort of in charge, and there's definitely a sort of a parent-child, you know, relationship in
yes.
place. But as when they go to college and they come sure. back mm. as young adults, they are so much more mature. Now you start to have this beautiful new relationship
yes.
with your
mm-hmm.
child as an adult.
You know, that's so true. I know a lot of my friends would say to me, well, gee, you know, you've been a stay-at-home mom. Your kids have now gone off to college and they're done. Like, what are you doing with yourself? Like, aren't you going to be lost now that they're not coming home, this, that, the other? And I'm like, no, each day has just been such a gift and a beauty. I haven't had time to, like, stop and look back because the present moment has been so beautiful and going forward has been so great. And, like, look at Tori, and Tori's brought Rob into our life, our son-in-law. Mm-hmm. So now I have another son. And through Drew, with his relationship with Laura, I feel I have another daughter, and now Kieran. I mean, the family is growing, and it's been beautiful, all these experiences, and being able to be adults with them, going on vacations, and seeing things through their eyes as adults now. It's just been a great gift.
Yeah.
I think it's keeping us young, too, in some ways.
Yeah. It's the next chapter. You know, parents need to, by letting go, they get back these wonderful adults, and you start a whole new relationship.
Yes.
That's beautiful, and we're very
God
grateful
is good.
That we
God
have
is
all
so
our
good.
Children. To so close with us, that keeps us, as you said, keeps us young.
And we serve pretty good food. I think that's why they keep coming back to us.
That's right. Kieran, maybe you want to talk a little, you know, what are some of the activities, the good activities that you got involved in? Not so much the organization, but, like, how did you spend your days with Vanessa or, you know, with your friends mm-hmm. in doing fun things that were, you know, kept you out of trouble? What were some examples, you know, in terms of places you went to, things you did?
Okay, well, D.C. was a great resource. There's definitely a lot
so
of things.
Catholic University is in Washington,
yeah,
D.C.
Yeah, it is in D.C.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the nice things about going to school in a city. Of course, not everyone's going to be there. But, yeah, you know, lots of great museums, things like that to do. Mm-hmm. There's always movies.
Yeah.
Virtually every university, they're really big on making sure that the experience isn't just classes. There are always going to be university-hosted events. You know, they'll host barbecues, they'll host movie nights, all kinds of things like that, concerts.
And I always love hearing when you go to those chastity talks, you two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The ones on campus.
That's
great.
That's a little bit of a different category then. What do you do on Friday night?
Yeah, you don't get into much trouble at those.
And Vanessa, how about you? Some of the things that you did?
I mean, as Kieran was saying, like, our university offers, you know, every Friday and Saturday night there's a planned event for students on campus. Mm. And that includes, you know, going to concerts, going ice skating, going to baseball games, going
right.
to basketball games, going to plays, going to
tractor pulls, I think Drew went to one time.
Yeah, monster truck rally.
Monster truck rally, that's it.
universities want you to have fun, and they don't want you to get into trouble either, so they're going to provide you alternate activities. And, you know, if you make good friends, you find things to do. When you're with people you have fun with, even just hanging out.
Isn't it fun just making a meal together?
Yeah. There's plenty, I mean, when you have good people to hang out with, you find fun things to do. You know, don't be worried. Don't think that you have to get wrapped up into a certain sort of lifestyle with the drinking, you know, your freshman year to have fun. Right. If anything, it's more expensive. And, you know, you're a poor college student anyway. As something our old president said, you know, if you're going to be stupid, don't waste $40,000 a year on it.
Don't be stupid here. I think that's what he said.
If you're going to be stupid, don't be stupid don't here. That was his quote.
So, I mean, like, make the best of college. It is such a unique time that for 4 years, you know, you're with your friends 24/7. You know, you have the opportunity to learn, to educate, to become involved in athletics and academics and clubs, you know. There's no other opportunity in life similar to this, so don't waste it.
It's a unique moment in your life when you have 4 years, you know, without without full-time work responsibilities, without a family of your own to take care of, and the chance to bond with some people of the same age in the same situation. And learn. I mean, I always said if I could be a professional student, I would be, because I just love learning. I love being in the classroom. I love absorbing new information and new knowledge. And that's a really rare opportunity you have. And I think a lot of kids, they get distracted by all the other stuff that people think of at college, and they kind of miss out on the learning experience and the bonding that you can have with good friends at college. You'll never get that experience in quite the same way.
Yes.
You know, I've gone to school, you know, several times, both at the seminary and at for my master's degree at night. And they were certainly wonderful experiences, but different than being full-time at a college, sleepaway college.
And I just want to say, as parents, you know, what's our goal in life? Our goal, these great children that God has given us, these gifts, our goal is to raise them so they go out into the world and that they become good, holy citizens, you know. And so it's such a privilege to watch our children grow and to be able to do that.
Right. They are growing, constantly amazing us and moving into new chapters in life. You know, we have a few minutes left here before we have to say goodbye. And I want to, one thing we mentioned, we touched a little bit on, I was going to come back to Vanessa, and you mentioned some of the chastity talks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
I wanted to make sure you get that into
That you had attended first, and then later on, you were actually giving some of those talks.
Yeah. So something that I devoted a lot of my time to at CUA was a group called Live Out Love. And a lot of universities are, you know, churches have groups like this, but it's a young adult group, so a bunch of us on campus that have formation meetings that we hold for anyone who wants to come on campus every week, and that goes from varieties of, you know, we focus a lot on theology of the body, as we previously talked about, but also just how to live, you know, as good, chaste men and women, especially in our college years. And chastity goes so much beyond just a dating relationship or a marriage, which is what our group focused a lot on. You know, it goes, you know, how do I treat every single person that I come in contact with? How do I respect and love each person as God loves them? And so that ministry was huge for me because it really reformed the way that I interacted with people each day. And then another part of our ministry was to go out into high schools and middle schools, and give chastity talks. And it is quite the witness for kids to have five men and five women who are in college up there saying, like, I'm telling you about this life, I'm living this life, and I'm happy.
Right.
So, and to
that's
be,
not what the message the media sends out.
Not at all. And, you know, the best way to learn is to teach. So to get out there and to really be proclaiming this message, I learned so much. And I'm really grateful for it. And so getting involved with activities like that, even if you're like, well, I don't know anything about it. Like, those groups are so welcoming. They want newcomers. They want to spread the message. So just to go and learn is really important.
I know for Drew, one of the things that the activities he got involved with was they kind of helped form him in a different way, not on the chastity side, but just on service, was his ministry to the homeless, where he would, as part of one of the programs the school had.
It's called Homeless Food Runs.
Yeah, he would actually bring food out and walk down the street and sit and talk with a homeless person.
Yeah.
And he said he learned so much about the dignity of people that even when they had nothing else, that they still had their name. Mm. And he always...
That's exactly what he said.
He always made sure he found out their name because that was the one thing they still possessed.
That was the one thing they could share with you was their name. So he always goes up and shakes their hand and says hello and asks them their name.
But he learned a lot, as you learned on Chastity, he learned a lot about the dignity that God puts into every single person on this
earth.
Very
humbling. Mm.
And he taught me a new way to treat homeless because I grew up in New York City with a dad that was really trying, you know, was a police officer and saw all the bad things that potentially could happen. So you saw a homeless person, you walked across the other side of the street and didn't say a word and just kept going because, and at the time there were a lot of issues. There were the mental health institutes were turning out sick people really on the street. So there was some legitimate concern, but still to this, you know, until Drew kind of re-educated me on the beauty of a homeless person and the dignity they still have, I don't think I would have learned that without him doing that. So you're right. So the chastity is a way for you to learn and give a new perspective on how to treat everyone. For Drew, it was how to treat people in the homeless centers. You know, Tori, our other daughter, we didn't get a chance to mention her.
Too much, right?
Right, but, you know, she was always a good, faith-filled girl that went to Catholic University and went through a pretty intellectual, challenging moment to really question, you know, the tenets of her faith. So that then she took it on her own, and it became her faith.
Yeah, I can remember she would call you with questions, something that she would hear, and you'd have these dialogues, you know, late into the night about faith. And it's so good to have those questions and to ask them.
I always said my finest moment as a parent was I was standing on the seminary steps getting ready to take a test, and she calls me with a bunch of questions, very fundamental questions about our faith, and that was what my test was on that night. So I was like ready to go,
tested.
And boom, 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 I just answered all her questions right there. So, and you're right. Your child can help teach you and help you grow.
And plus, her spouse now, Rob, certainly a very faithful young man in Knights of Columbus, and together they both build each other up.
Right. All right. Well, I think we're just about winding down here. Let's, you know, normally I would say the closing prayer, but we have a wonderful prayer author here that we always call on to give some closing prayers for us. So we're going to ask Vanessa to send us off with a closing prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time to grow in wisdom and to discuss our joys and struggles of living our faith at times away from our families. We ask you to especially watch over those who will be entering college this fall and for all current college students. Help them to recognize the desire in their hearts to be loved and for them to seek that love in you. Let us never settle for less and help us to strive for the fullness of life as you have promised us. Let us see those people in our lives you have placed there, so that we don't lose sight of you and your love. And especially bless all parents, Lord, and give them strength to entrust their children to your mother when they are at college. And may Mary forever wrap all our children in her love, so that by her we may know Jesus. We ask this through your Son and through the intercession of all the saints to protect and guide all students to the everlasting source of love. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Saint Monica,
pray for us.
Amen. Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, thank you, Kieran, and thank you, Vanessa, for joining us today.
Thank you.
And we are actually taking the month of July off the air. We'll be back in August. And in August, we're going to have a show on the theology of the body. And we'll have a guest speaker with us who's a teacher and a practitioner of this wonderful,
beautiful teaching.
So we look forward to that on August 24th.
Well, thank you all for joining us today.
And
God bless you.
Thank you all, and God bless you all. Yeah. We'll see you and have a wonderful summer. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Deacon Dialogues. We hope you will join us each month at this time, the fourth Friday at 4 p.m., or for the encore the following Sunday at 2 p.m.